Hi, this is Lauren Schaffel, the voice of Liz Horton. Welcome to the Official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Welcome to the Official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine, and this is the November 15th, 2006 edition. Coming up on the podcast, we'll talk to Paul Herlinger, the voice of Wit, about his early days in acting, before there was television. But that's another story, and this is the latest news. Our news item takes us back to 1992. Imagine you were a big Odyssey fan back then. After 5 years of the show, a series of fiction books was published with your favorite characters. The novels reveal how everything got started in Odyssey. Think of them as a prequel, like Star Wars Episode I, only Jar Jar's not in the Odyssey novels, and the dialogue is a whole lot better. Well, anyway, the series turned out to be 12 books, but sadly, these books went out of print. Now, the big news is, the Adventures in Odyssey novels are now available again. The stories have been updated, and instead of 12 books, all the stories fit in 3 mega books. Now you can impress your friends by reading a big, hefty book. We've got Paul McCusker, writer of all 3 mega books, standing by to talk about the series. Josh, what'd you find out about him?
Thanks, Jesse. I'm here with Paul McCusker, author of the Adventures in Odyssey novels. Paul, how did the idea of Adventures in Odyssey novels get started?
Well, I think early in the show, after we hit our stride with the audio program, we began to talk about other things that we could do with the town of Odyssey and all the characters. And I think it was around that time that the idea came up for the animated videos and that sort of thing. So it was sort of a given. Novels made sense to us, and so I got tagged to do them.
Now, you've written nearly 100 episodes of the radio show when the first novel released in 1992. What's different about writing novels and writing for the radio show?
Well, with novels, of course, you have to explain a lot more. I mean, when you're doing a script for whether it's radio or you're doing it for film or television or whatever, so much of what happens is done through the dialogue, through character,
and
sound effects, the visuals, if it's going to be for screen. Whereas, of course, the first thing that I came up against was the realization that I had to describe these characters. I had to describe what this shop called Wit's End looked like, and it was tougher than I thought it would be, even down to little things like he said, she said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a point where you can get carried away saying things like he said effusively, or things that you take for granted because the actors are going to do that job.
Right.
So that was my first lesson in writing that kind of prose, was you can't leave anything assumed.
In the later novels, Jack Davis and Jimmy Barkley from the radio show show up. Now, are these original stories or are they adapted from the radio show?
Well, we wanted to do original stories just so that kids would have a greater motivation to read them. Because if they've been listening to them, then why would they want to read them?
Yeah, right.
But as time went on and I finished up the Mark Prescott section of those novels, I then thought, well, I can turn my attention to some of these characters who were popular around that time on the radio program.
Uh-huh.
And I could use them as long as I used them in a way that wouldn't encroach on whatever we were doing with them in the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was set before the radio program begins, but I could still gently move into some things we had not dealt with. For example, one of the books deals with Jimmy Barkley becoming a Christian. Well, we hadn't really – we've alluded to it, but
sure,
we never actually unpacked that story for the listening audience. And I thought, well, here's my chance to actually tell that story in the context of the books.
Now, did you end up using things from the books in the radio show?
Well, we did ultimately. The Israelites, there were a number of things that I had created for the books that years later, as we were doing the radio program, we thought, well, this is kind of part of the show's mythology. Why not use them now? And so every now and again, you'll find an interaction between the two.
Well, you can check out all the Adventures in Odyssey novels at witsend.org/podcast. Thanks so much for being with us, Paul.
My pleasure.
You can check out Strange Journey Back and the other books at witsend.org/podcast. There you can read a few sample chapters from the novels and get your very own copy of these mega books. Next up, Nathan talks with Paul Herlinger, the voice of John Avery Whittaker. Most folks call him Wit. I call him Paul, but you know, we're pretty close.
All right, I'm here with Paul Herlinger. He plays the voice of Mr. Whittaker, and he's played this part for actually over 10 years now. It's been quite a while. So welcome to the show here, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't believe it. It actually has been 10 years. I started my first show was in 1996. So here it is, 2006. 10 years.
Tell us about some of your background, Paul, that you've actually been involved in media for a long time. In fact, you actually produce documentaries, or maybe tell us about just your background in media.
Yeah, I started as a high schooler in radio, and this was back in 1945, which is probably long before a lot of your listeners were alive. Yeah, 1945, I was born and raised in New York. We had a lot of opportunities there as high school students, and through a number of circumstances, I got involved with a high school radio workshop, which was English credit for us in high school, and 3 days a week we would go to the local radio station and produce radio dramas. So that was the beginning of my life in radio, and that's why one of the reasons I guess I've always been devoted to radio as a medium and loved radio acting. But most of my career has actually been in television production. And so for about 25 years I worked half that time in commercial broadcasting. Got tired of selling toothpaste and then went into public broadcasting, which was really most satisfying because I got to produce a couple of documentaries that were played on PBS, and this is back in the 70s. So that's pretty much the extent of my career. It was mostly in production with doing what we call voice work sort of on the side, and then suddenly Wit happened.
Yeah, well, we've heard the story of how you became Mr. Whitaker. I believe most of our listeners will have heard that story of how, you know, a radio station manager in Seattle heard your voice. But when you were contacted about doing this part on a radio drama, having your background in radio drama, what did you think about that?
I was excited. I was very excited because I had been doing a little bit of radio drama through the years, thanks to a producer in the Seattle area who loved to do radio dramas. But when I heard about this as a running part on a show that has already had quite a few years of being broadcast with an audience that knew the characters, the only daunting part about it was stepping, as I understood, I would be stepping into the shoes of the person who had created the part of Mr. Whitaker, Hal Smith, a Hollywood actor who passed away suddenly, and then just as suddenly the part was there to be filled. So I think that was the excitement of stepping in and doing regular radio shows was great, but it was daunting to think that I had to pick up where someone who created this part left off.
Tell us a little bit about the process of recording a radio show. This is something that people ask us about all the time, and they ask, you know, do the actors go in the studio and have their lines memorized, or how do you record? Walk us through, maybe just in 30 seconds or so, how you record a radio show.
Yeah, no, we don't memorize lines at all. It's not like theater or television. We do have scripts. And luckily, at Odyssey, we've got some great writers, and the man who's asking me questions is one of them. We have our scripts to read, and we go into the studio in Los Angeles. We do all the vocal lines, and then those tapes or those discs, those computer-generated things, are then taken back to Colorado Springs, where we do what is called post-production. In other words, we add the music, we add the sound effects, and that's up to the sound designers and the directors to do that. So that's the way, basically, in 30 seconds, it all comes together.
Thanks, Nathan and Paul. I'm looking forward to hearing more of this interview in a future podcast. You've been listening to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast. That's witsend.org/podcast. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.